Welcome to Torah Dimecha, Nach Yomi with the OU's Women's Initiative. I am Rebecca Balazan, and today we are learning Shoftim, Parak Yud Aleph. The parak begins, V'yiftach ha-geladi ha-yagibur chayel. Yiftach was a mighty warrior. V'hu ben isha zonah. He is the son of an isha zonah. V'yoled gilad es yiftach. And he is the son of Gilad. And though zonah usually means a prostitute, a harlot, here the Mefarshim seem to shy away from that definition. According to the Radak, his mother was actually a pilegesh. She was a concubine, meaning she had a relationship, but it was without a ksuba and kiddushin. And therefore, she was like a zona, even though her relationship was only with Gilad. But the Rabbag explains that his mother was actually from a different shevet than her husband. And most women were encouraged to marry within their shevet so that it would not cause a transfer of inheritance. And since his mother did something that was deemed inappropriate, she was called a zona. But either way, Yiftach is the son of Gilad. And Gilad's wife gave birth to sons. And when they grow up, they chase out Yiftach. And they said, he's not going to inherit the house of our father because he is from another woman. And according to the Malbim, they were wrong on two counts. First of all, the son of a Pilegesh does inherit. And second of all, they kicked him out. Even if they didn't want him to inherit, they didn't need to chase him out. And Yiftach runs away. And according to the Malbim, this shows that they wanted to kill him. And not only that, it shows that the people of the city didn't do justice for Yiftach. They didn't stand up to take care of him or to defend him. And he lived in the land of Tuv, and empty people, they attach themselves to him, and they go out with him, according to the Rabbag, to fight wars to earn a livelihood. And it was after many days that the children of Ammon go to make war with Israel. And it was when Bnei Ammon fought with Bnei Israel, the elders of Gilad, they go to Yiftach, and they realize, we're in a bad situation. We need a leader. We need a mighty warrior to battle for us. And so they go to Yiftach and they say to him, please come be our katzin, be our chief. And we're going to fight Bnei Ammon. And Yiftach says to them, didn't you chase me out of my father's house? Why are you coming now to me when you're in distress? And the elders of Gilad said to him, no, you have to realize, that's why we're returning now to you. This shows that we're sincere. We could have sent a messenger. We could have sent other people to relay this message. But now the leaders, the elders are coming because we feel badly and you should go with us and you'll fight Ammon and you'll become our head. You'll be the Rosh Yoshvei Gilad. And Yiftach Pasuk Tet responds to them and he says, if I return and battle Bnei Ammon and Hashem gives them over to me, of course I'm going to be the head. Meaning, according to the Metuda, Yiftach is saying, that's a natural consequence. You're not really offering me anything here. I want to be the head now. Meaning, of course if I win, I'm going to be the head afterwards. So what am I going to gain at this point in time? And the elders of Gilad agree. And Yiftach goes with the elders of Gilad. And they appoint him as not only the Rosh, but as the Katzin. And Yiftach explains the condition before the people of Gilad. And so now, Pasuk Yud Bet, Yiftach springs into action, and he sends messengers to the king of Bnei Ammon, and he says, Mali v'lach ki bata ilai lilachem ba'artzi. He says, what is between me and you that you have come to fight? Now, according to the Malbim, Yiftach is asking, what is motivating you? What problems do you have? Perhaps we can find a way to make peace. And the king of Bnei Ammon answers, that Bnei Israel took my land when they came out of Mitzrayim. And now, return the land to me. And if you return the land, we won't have a problem. There will be peace. And Yiftach responds. He says, Bnei Israel didn't take the land of Moab, nor did they take the land of Bnei Ammon. Now, Yiftach is about to recount history. And according to the Malbim, Yiftach has four claims. Number one, he says, we didn't take any land from Ammon or Moab. Not only did we not take your land, but we didn't even pass through your land. Remember, we asked you if we could pass through your land and you said no. So what did we do? We walked around. Secondly, when Bnei Israel asked Sichon to pass through, he did not allow them to pass through. And not only that, he did not trust them. And so he attacked them. And Bnei Israel, and Hashem gave Sichon into Bnei Israel's hands and Bnei Israel inherited the land. And this is Yiftach's second claim. The land that we captured was a result of being attacked. And the land that was captured was Emori, and it was not Eretz Moav. And now, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, now Hashem has driven out the Emori from before his people, and you want to inherit it? What your God Kamosh gives you, and he allows you to conquer, that's your land. But whatever Hashem, our God, gives us, that's our land. And that is Giftach's third claim. This is God's land, and he gave it to the Jewish people. Now you want to try to take it back? Then he continues, do you think that you are better than Balak ben Zippor, the king of Moab? Was he successful in battling Bnei Israel? Did he fight with them? And when Bnei Israel settled in Cheshbon and its towns, and in Aroer and its towns for over 300 years, why did you not recover them at that time? This, according to the Malbim, is Yiftach's fourth claim. Bnei Israel got this land hundreds of years ago, and you were silent. You did nothing, and now you want to start and say something? So he says to the king of Moab, I have not sinned against you, but you do wrong with me by fighting against me. And he says, Hashem should be the judge between me and you. But the king of Ammon did not listen, and he did not accept what Yiftach said. And the Pasuk tells us, Pasuk Chavtet, there was a Ruach Hashem on Yiftach, a spirit of Gvura, a spirit of God, of strength, that passes over Yiftach, and he travels to Bnei Ammon. And Yiftach Pasaglam, and he takes a neder, he takes a vow, and he says, if Hashem gives over Bnei Ammon into my hands, then the first one to leave my house to greet me when I return in peace from Bnei Ammon will be for Hashem, v'halisihu la'ola. I will offer it up as an offering. And according to the Metuda, Yiftach is saying two things in this pasuk. He's saying, number one, if something not worthy of being a karbon comes out, v'hayal Hashem, it will be holy for Hashem. It will be set aside for God, and it will not be used for mundane purposes. And number two, if the thing is actually worthy and appropriate to be a korban, then I will give it as a korban. So Yiftach saying, he's making a vow to Hashem, take care of me, and then I will give you this sacrifice or this thing that I will set aside for you, God, when I return. And Yiftach crosses over into the lands of Bnei Ammon, and Hashem gives them over in his hands. Not only that, Yiftach is extremely successful, and Bnei Ammon are subdued. So now Yiftach, he returns back home, and lo and behold, what happens? His daughter comes out to greet him. She comes with drums, and she dances. She was his only child. He did not have another son, nor another daughter. She was a single girl, meaning she was an only child, and not only that, she did not yet have children. And when he sees her, he tears Kriya. He rips his clothing and he says, oh my goodness, you made me fall literally. You brought me to my knees. You have become one of those things that trouble me. And now I have opened my mouth to Hashem, but I can't go back on it. Meaning I made this neder and now you come out of the house. What am I going to do? And she says to her father, you have opened your mouth to Hashem, so now you have to do accordingly, since Hashem has done vengeance from your enemies. Meaning, you made this neder, so you need to follow through. But she says to him, listen, Pasuk Lamadayim, let this thing be done to me, but give me 2 months, and I'm going to go to the mountains, and I'm going to cry over my basula, meaning over my virginity, meaning over the idea that I will never get married and I will never have children. And Yiftach allows his daughter to do this, and she goes with her friends, and she goes to mourn. And after 2 months, she returns, and he fulfills the neder that he made. And she never knew a man. Now, according to the Radak, Yiftach did not bring her as a korban. He did not bring her as a sacrifice, but rather he made her a place that was separate and secluded from people, secluded from the world. According to the Metuda, she was in that place only to be involved in Avodas Hashem, only to be involved in holy work. And they made a chok, a statute in Israel, that the daughters of Israel went to mourn the daughter of Yiftach 4 times a year. According to the Metuda, they went to her to comfort her in her isolation. And now, while most Meforshim contend that Yiftach's daughter lived alone in isolation, there are definitely some who disagree and maintain that Yiftach actually sacrificed this daughter. And though Yiftach was a judge, he was a shofet, he was chosen for that position because of his might, because of his bravery, but definitely not because of his Torah knowledge. Yiftach was in fact extremely ignorant. If he would have asked about his vow, or if he would have at least tried to nullify it, he would have not been bound by it. He could have consulted Pinchas, and then he would have been off the hook, but that didn't happen. Yiftach was too arrogant to travel to Pinchas to receive guidance. He felt like, I'm the general, I am so important, and therefore I should not have to travel to Pinchas to consult him. And Pinchas was also too proud to go to Yiftach and advise him. He felt, if this guy needs me, then he should come and travel to me. Therefore, why should I go to him? And unfortunately, the arrogance of these two men cost a young girl her life. And according to the Medrash, both men were punished. Pinchas lost his Ruach HaKodesh, and Yiftach became ill, and he lost many of his limbs. The Pasuk tells us, Ve'ikaver ve'arei Gilad, that he was buried in the cities of Gilad. What does that mean, he was buried in multiple cities? And the Medrash explains that his limbs would become ill and they would literally fall off. And wherever they would fall off, he would bury them. Therefore, his body, or his parts of his body, were buried all over in multiple cities. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Esther, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.